Carol Potter began her acting career on Broadway with the play Gemini before launching a long career in Hollywood as mainly a TV mom, but in a number of different shows, most notably as Cindy Walsh on Beverly Hills 90210. And joining us right now, it is Carol Potter, who is still out in L.A. these days, right?
Yeah, you know, I never would have predicted that I would have appeared, that I would end up in Los Angeles.
Really? How come?
Oh, God, never occurred to me. Huh. Never thought about it for a moment. I was a New York girl. I was just going to be in New York. I was going to do theater, and then this thing happens. It's a job, so you come out to Los Angeles. Then you kind of got stuck here.
Yeah, you get addicted to it. It gets in your blood after a while. I know how that
works.
Well,
it was more that I just didn't have the energy to go back.
Yeah, that too. Both of those two things. Well, I got to start off by saying it's an honor to have you on the show.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, and I want you to know I admire you greatly for not only your acting career and everything, which we'll talk about, but also how you've dedicated your life to helping others as a counselor as well. So a lot of people don't know that you do that. Tell us about your career and exactly what you're doing these days.
Right. Well, I got a master's in marriage and family therapy. And so I work primarily with individuals and couples. I work with a lot of young people who are trying to figure out how to live a life that fits for them. You know, we all grow up in these families that have all sorts of notions about how you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to do and what's important and what your values are. And then we have to go out in the world and figure out what fits and what doesn't fit. And when there's a lack of fit, there's all kinds of effects from that, like depression, anxiety, the expectations we hold for ourselves, which may be unrealistic. So what I do is I help people work, you know, develop relationships that fit more with what they'd really like, and to be able to communicate better with each other in terms of how do I know this person really cares about me, and sort of watching out for those places that get really sore and tricky and tend to be kind of reactive, and how do we sort of be a little more tender around those places, both for ourselves and for our partners.
Okay, is this the most rewarding work that you've ever done before? Like, you know, how's it compared to the rest
of your life? It's very satisfying.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because as an actor, you're presenting human nature. You're sort of presenting all of the dilemmas of being human in a particular culture, right? But when I'm working with people, they can actually change their lives. So I work with people, and they feel more satisfied with what they're doing. They have better relationships with people. They feel better about themselves. They can enjoy their lives more. All of that is thrilling. It really is thrilling.
I've got to imagine seeing that progress too. Seeing someone you help get through that situation has got to be so rewarding, right?
Yeah. It is, very much so.
We're talking to Carol Potter on Round Trip. So we'll come back to today a bit later, but I kind of want to go back. So you kind of mentioned some of this, but you went to Radcliffe College. You got a Bachelor of Arts in Social Relations, which doesn't really sound like acting necessarily. So when you went into college, did you ever in a million years think you might do acting? Was that ever a possibility? And what were you originally going to be when you grew up?
Well, originally I was going to be an actress, but that was when I was five. And, you know, and I was always working, you know, in what was available in terms of school plays and stuff like that. But to do it as a career, I didn't have a clue how to do that, and it certainly didn't fit with my family background. And you know, everyone saw it as a great hobby. So I was going to actually be a therapist. When I went to college and I majored in social relations, basically psychology, what we think of as psychology, personality and abnormal psych, and with a little bit of social anthropology and social psychology thrown in. The psych department there was all experimental psychology with, you know, rats and mazes and testing and all of that stuff. So this was what most people think of when they think of psychology. But they called it social relations, which I really enjoy. It's not there anymore. I don't know. They've changed everything around. But
so, how did you kind of segue into the acting thing? Like, what led you to go full fledged into it?
Well, when I was in college, there was a lot of change happening. the anti-war movement, the feminist movement. There was a kind of rebellion against ivory tower academia and this notion of, I don't know, the hierarchy of a certain kind of knowledge and a certain way of being in the world, which no longer felt authentic to people in my generation. And so there was a sense of, let's not do all this stuff that feels like it's either keeping up with the Joneses or fulfilling some societal idea of who I'm supposed to be, but it doesn't really fit for me. I mean, we were kind of doing that on a generational basis. And sort of through all of that, I was acting, and the thought of, when I graduated, it was like, oh my God, the thought of going to school, applying to school, I was exhausted. And friends of mine who had gone to the Yale Drama School started a theater company in New Haven. And I said, oh, okay, I'll go do this theater company. And it was like the worst summer of my life. And at the end of it, I said, gee, if I still want to do this after this summer, I must really want to do it. Because any sane person would say, oh, no, this is not for me. So I just sort of started going.
Yeah, that's a lot of parallels between what you do in radio, I think. You're like, what the hell am I doing with my life, right? So 1977, then, you made your Broadway debut in the play Gemini. So what was it like being on Broadway? And when you look back now, all these years later, how precious were those times of your life?
Oh, yeah, it was wonderful. A friend of mine, when he was on Broadway in Greece, and he had this cartoon up in his dressing room that looked like a little square, a cinder block, little room with some of the cinder blocks falling off, and it said heaven over it, but some of the blocks were missing, so the heaven had some holes in it, and there's a bunch of angels inside drinking beers, and one of them saying, you know, somehow this isn't quite what I imagined.
Yeah.
I think Broadway is a little like that. But it was definitely very exciting to be in that place and working with such a wonderful cast and a really terrific show. I did it for a year and a half, and it never got stale. I mean, that's how you know it's really good material.
Yeah.
Is that there was depth and complexity that you kept being able to rediscover and engage in. So it was a really wonderful experience. And, you know, you have these experiences like you find out your holiday performance schedule from an ad in the newspaper rather than from the producer actually telling you.
Yeah, that play ran forever, too.
It ran for a long time. Yeah. I was with it for about a year and a half. And, you know, maybe I shouldn't have left when I did, but...
Well, it turned out.
Things people do.
You ended up, in between Broadway and 90210, you were involved in a lot of TV projects. Today's FBI, L.A. Law,
right.
Highway to Heaven, lots of them. But then in 1990, Beverly Hills 90210 comes around. So how did you first hear about that show and the chance to be considered for that part?
Well, I got an audition from my agent. So, you know, I came out to L.A. with Today's FBI. That's what got me to Los Angeles, and I was just kind of, I don't know, I felt all beat up after that was over. And inertia kept me there. And it was interesting because my friend Allie Mills was doing Wonder Years. And I saw her on television, and I thought, and I'd always, you know, I did a lot of commercials. I was always the mom, you know, and I'm watching her, and I go, you know, I could do a job like that. So 902 comes along, and I thought, okay, well, let's see. But I have to say that I went in, I auditioned, I recall auditioning twice, and both times I didn't hear back for several days, and I was just in despair. I thought I would never work again. And, you know, I was a single mom at that point, so I really needed to work. And I didn't know what I was going to do. And then it came through, and it was like, oh, my God. You know, and that's the nature of this business. You can be absolutely at your lowest ebb, and then, boom, something happens, and suddenly you're riding the wave again. You know, and the people who have lasted, they're going up and down, you know, multiple times.
What do you remember about that first time that you met your quote-unquote TV husband, James Eckhouse? Well, what was it like working with him?
Well, he was great to work with. I really enjoyed our relationship. I actually auditioned with him because I had already been cast, and they had actually cast someone else for the pilot, and we did the whole pilot, and then they decided that he didn't have the right quality, so they cut it all out. So 90% of what I did in the pilot just ended up on the cutting room floor. They threw James in and, you know, had him standing behind the sofa or something and throwing in a few lines to add to these scenes. So it was quite discombobulating. But he was great to work with, and we became very friendly while we were in the show, and would hang out with his wife and him, and just he's a good guy.
I remember, growing up watching it, obviously, and then in college watching the reruns every day before I went to class in the morning with my buddy. And it all seemed like you guys were actually a family. Like, I believed it. I'm like, this is actually her kids. Brandon and Brenda, they're hers. That's her husband. When you're acting that part, does it ever seem like you guys are actually, like, for just a minute, do you ever feel like you're actually a family?
Oh, God, no.
Really? No?
Not even for a second.
Well, you're a great actress, things it looked like.
Well, you know, and James and I both had little children. So, you know, for us, it was sort of like some horrible preview of what our lives were going to be like when we had teenagers.
Yeah, right.
But we would get together and we would talk about, oh, this is what's going on with my kid and what's going on with his kid. And so we were really trying to sort of stay afloat in a world that became very, very teen-centric. You know,
yeah.
the parents got sort of marginalized at one point, and that was difficult. But we supported each other and rode the wave as long as we could.
I love that. Like, remember back then it was considered so controversial, and now it'd be like the most vanilla thing on TV these days. It's funny how TV's kind of changed, you know.
Well, I don't know if you ever saw, I think it was Mad TV.
Yeah.
Had a show called Pretty White.
Yeah.
Kids with Problems.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, of course, we were before things like Dawson's Creek, and so I do think that there was a way in which we were a forerunner of a certain trend.
For sure. For sure, especially with music.
Yes.
So what are your favorite memories of the 90210 days?
Well, you know, that was the time when I was, you know, my little son was growing up, and so I was in this new family at home, and we had a lot of fun times together, skiing, and then there was, you know, I went to the Golden Globes a couple times, got to take my mom to the Golden Globes.
Oh,
how's
that
for a treat?
Yeah.
You know, and she was always very, oh, you know, she never paid much attention to these sorts of things and poo-pooed it all. But, you know, when she showed up, she really had kind of a fun time. So it was very enjoyable sort of being on the crest of this wave and hard to leave.
Yeah.
When that time came.
If you had to pick a favorite episode, could you?
Well, yeah, I think I could. It's interesting because this was an episode that I did after I left the show. And they brought me back as a guest star. You know, the kids moved into our house,
right.
And then they changed it all around.
Oh, yeah, I
so,
remember.
So, of course, the first thing the director says, now look around, but you like it. I'm going, you so do not know what a mother in this situation would feel like, but, you know, that's what you want. You want me not to rag on the kids, right? But, you know, Jim and I had some kind of problem, and I was thinking about divorce or separation or something like that. And I had the most wonderful scene with Jason. And it was really striking because the whole time, all that 5 years, we had mother-daughter stories, we had father-daughter stories, we had father-son stories. Never, never, not once did I have a scene with my son. In 5 years. So it was really a pleasure and a delight to have that opportunity. It was a great scene. And Jason, was he directing that episode
too? Probably.
I don't know. But we had a really, really nice time.
Do you stay in touch with any of the cast these days very much?
No. You know, I'm off into a whole different circle these days. And as Diane Keaton was saying last night on the Globes, was it last night?
2 nights ago.
No, Wednesday night. It was a Sunday night.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was talking about how you get in these intense connections with people, but then you move on to the next project, and that's in the whole other set of intense connections, and it's very hard to stay connected with people. James and I, we stayed in touch for a while, and we would run into each other at auditions and stuff like that, and I certainly, you know, been following him. He did a wonderful play over here at the Geffen Playhouse, and so I sort of notice and pick up when he's doing something, but we both sort of moved on.
Yeah. When you see it on TV these days, can you watch it still, or is it kind of painful to watch yourself all these years later?
Well, I never really have enjoyed watching myself, but I never see it on TV.
It's not right now. I don't know why. I'm sure it'll come back soon.
It's on it was on Soap Channel for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, but no, I never watch it.
I need to splurge and buy the whole season, the whole, you know, box set.
Well, I do have the first season.
That's it? Only the one?
Yeah.
They didn't hook you up with that? How are you not hooked up with that? You were the actress in it.
I know.
It's
like the guy who sells you the shoes. They don't give him free shoes.
Right. You must work for the same company I work for, man. I don't get anything. I have to buy
That's
my own
right.
concert tickets.
Oh, we didn't even get our wardrobe. I had to pay buy our wardrobe.
So a question I like to ask people is the most random place you were ever recognized as Cindy Walsh, and does that ever happen today anymore?
It does happen occasionally, but this is a good story. I went to Israel in 2006 with my church on this little pilgrimage. And we fly in, and I come up to the desk, the immigration desk, and I hand over my passport. And this young woman looks at my passport. You know, she's like an Israeli soldier. She's looking at my passport, and she goes, "Carol Potter from Beverly Hills, 90210? And of course, that was the story throughout our whole trip about how I'd been recognized at the airport.
Were you, like, shocked? You're like, oh, my gosh.
I was like, yes, I was shocked. But apparently it had come over and played there fairly recently. You know, it wasn't like they had seen it and she had seen it in the 90s. She had seen it in the aughts, you know.
That's
so it was
hilarious.
Very big in Europe. You know, there's always a lag in these things. So that's my favorite story about being recognized.
I love that. So after 90210, then you went on and started in a lot of different shows. But then one cool thing, I don't know exactly when this happened, but you won over $120,000 for your favorite charity, TV Moms
yes.
episode of The Weakest Link. Did that happen? I think Wikipedia said that. Did that really happen?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I went head-to-head with June Lockhart.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And we
were both ruthless.
What was your charity?
The Southern California Counseling Center, in particular, the Abuse Prevention Project, which is a program for people who are involved in domestic violence, for men and women who are violent and for women who are victims of violence. And I worked with these groups for 4 years as part of my training. The Southern California Counseling, after I went to school, you have to do 3,000 hours. I did a lot of my training at this counseling center. And it's the whole purpose is that people should have someone to talk to just because they want someone to talk to. And it works on a sliding scale. The counselors are all interns and getting their, you know, getting professional experience. It's got terrific training there. And it was it has a lot of interesting programs. So that was my charity. But I have to say I never thought in a million years I'd actually win.
You know what? You had that East Coast education. You know, you had a fighting chance, right?
I know, but this is trivia stuff.
Oh, okay.
I one of the things I didn't get was moonlighting. You know, is what's the Bruce, you know, the TV show that Bruce Willis did, and all I could think of was like Moonbeam or Moonglow. Or...
Well, that stinks. You did well, though. You won. So, okay,
yeah.
So the future for you, I mean, you're doing the counseling thing, obviously. Are you still doing some acting stuff? Is there a possibility we'll see you doing some more in the future, or are you kind of past that? Or
You know, occasionally I go up for an audition, a guest spot or a commercial or something like that. So, you know, you never say never. But I'm not really focusing on it right now. I'd really like to do some staged readings and things like that. And I got a couple of friends. We're talking about maybe starting an arts ministry at my church where we could, you know, have sort of readings and explore dramatic literature together without having to put on a whole big old production. You know, I'd love to do theater, but it doesn't pay. And with my counseling schedule, unfortunately, I see clients in the evenings. I see clients on the weekends. So I really can't do both.
Yeah.
And right now I need to keep working.
One other question I forgot to ask you. One last question. Do you watch the new 90210 at all, or have you ever?
Oh, I did watch it a little bit. Well, my friend Annie Gillespie was on it.
Oh, okay.
Kelly's mom.
Yes.
Now, that's someone I've stayed in touch with.
Oh, cool.
We met the first day that she came on the set. We were talking and found out we grew up in towns right next door to each other in New Jersey.
That's cool. Small world.
And she's had a very interesting trajectory. She's now a priest.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So she's now over, she's on the East Coast in Virginia, in Arlington. And while she was in, that show started while she was in seminary, and she came in several times and did a bunch of episodes about, you know, she was the bad mom. I was the good mom. She was the bad mom. And stuff about her alcoholism, and then she got better from the alcoholism, but Kelly still couldn't forgive her, and then she got cancer and she died.
Yeah.
It was great fun to watch. So, yeah, I did follow that for a while.
So much tragedy. Anything else I didn't ask you, or anything you want to throw in or anything? Or
I don't know. I think it's interesting when people reinvent their lives.
Yeah.
And as a counselor, I get to be part of that reinvention. And I'm doing it myself, so it's
a nice connection.
It
was pretty cool to me when I read that. I couldn't believe it. I found out the night I emailed you, and I'm like, holy cow, I can't believe that's so awesome.
You know? Yeah. So. It was fun. Well, you know what? It's interesting because when I was training, I was doing this soap. It was another Aaron Spelling soap and almost the same character, only I was from Kansas instead of Minnesota. And it was called Sunset Beach. And
yeah.
So I did that for about 3 years while I was getting my training, and it was fabulous. And if that show had continued, I'd probably still be doing it. I would be doing that, and I would be working as a volunteer counselor.
Yeah.
You know, that it was a beautiful combination, but, you know, then it died, and so I got to earn a living, so here I am.
Well, I think it turned out good. You know,
it turned out. It is what it is. It's turning out perfectly.
You're touching people all your life through acting and after that. So.
It's true.
That's pretty cool.
It's true. That feels good.
Well, thank you so much for all your time and for all the memories, and stay in touch, and I appreciate everything.
Well, thank you, Dave. Thanks for looking me up.
Absolutely. Take care.
You too.